All right, we are here. And welcome, welcome. Such a pleasure to see you again. Such a pleasure to feel your vibrations, to see your beautiful energies progressing so beautifully in the process of your upgrading. Time for upgrading. And one of the most critical pieces as you upgrade, as you expand, as you become more, is to allow yourself to be attunement with your reality, to allow your reality to work for you, to be friendly, to be supportive, to give you that which you want, which you desire, as well as that which you need. If you've noticed throughout your life, you haven't been on the street picking food out of garbage cans. You haven't been homeless, living in a plastic tent somewhere in the woods. You've done all right for yourselves. You have an agreement, a contract, if you will, as a spiritual being that you are, with your universe, that you will have what you need. And so no matter how financially desperate you have ever been, you have had some resource that will come to you, maybe in the 11th hour, but it will come to you, so that you have a place to live, a roof over your head, food to eat, clothes to wear, probably transportation, basic necessities. It's almost as if, you know, you're living in one little room of this great universe. If you live sometimes right there on that edge, right above that line between doing okay and not doing okay, financially, resource-wise, love, health, etc. If you're just kind of hanging in there, then you're just living according to the contract, to the agreement. Before you came into this lifetime, you said, here, I've got some work to do. I've got some mission, you know, to put on the agenda here, and I'm going to work it. And I need a certain amount of support. If I'm going to be the ground crew, then I need help from the sky crew. Your team, comprised of innumerable beings, most of whom you don't even know, but who love you dearly, who you've known, many of them you've known, on the other side, before you came, before you even took on the human body and the human lifetimes that you have taken on. The agreement that you made with them is that somehow or another, you would be okay. You would be taken care of. You would be able to receive the abundance the universe has to offer, the bounty, the beautiful treasures of life, your gift. And there is a contractual agreement specifically before this lifetime as well. Because in this lifetime you decided not to experience homelessness and major devastation of self, major destructive situations. You decided, yes, you're going to deal with a lot of intense circumstances, no doubt. All of you have had tremendous challenges in your life at one time or another. But the contract clearly stated that this is a lifetime in which you're working on your spiritual work, you're going to go through the upgrade, you're going to pave a path for a beautiful new reality. And in order to do that, you're not going to experience the devastation lifetime. You're not going to experience extreme poverty and despair. You're going to have a roof over you. You're going to have a bed to sleep in at night. You're going to have at least the basic necessities. Now, also as part of the agreement is that when you awaken to all the possibilities of what you can receive, that your crew, the sky crew, your team, will give it to you. They will provide for you everything that you desire, everything that you need. Now, need is a certain level of functioning. All of you right now have everything you need. Not what you desire, not what makes your life maybe easier, more fun, or whatever, but you have everything that you need. Sometimes you have quite a bit more. That's a lot of fun. It's all about your capacity to receive the gifts that your team has for you. Your team. Now, your team is comprised of various higher aspects of yourself. Higher self. The true self. Spirit. Soul. They may appear to be separate aspects, but they're different facets of the incredible diamond crystal being that you are in your whole form as your monad. Now, the monad is the individualized light spark essence that you are. And in this lifetime, all of you have decided that you're going to do a lot of work, a lot of play, a lot of exploration, a lot of wrapping up, if you will, of things in order to be the homegoer. The homegoer is one who is finishing up the cycle of birth and death in a glorious and grand celebratory manner. Now, if you don't think that you've had, you know, a grand celebratory life yet, just you wait. We're on the precipice of it now. If you're aware, there's more and more hints of it coming into the mainstream, more and more tips, more and more stories that hint at what you already know deep down inside, a recollection of who you are, a recollection of where you've been, a recollection of where you're going, as a choice that you have made, as an agreement that you have made, perhaps in your sense of time, millennia ago. So you have tremendous support in this lifetime, because this lifetime is a time of great destiny for you. Now you may say, wait a minute, doesn't look like so far that my life is this grand destiny, you know, experience. Well, it depends on what you think a big destiny is about. You know, some people think destiny is like, well, Napoleon, you know, oh, no, there was a destiny. Crazy, but that was a destiny. You know, it's big, it's flashy. You know? And people will look at this person and go, wow, look at their power. And these are people who can make a difference in the lives of millions and millions and millions. Well, it had to be that way in the old days. But little do you know how much impact you have on millions and millions of people when you come to an awareness, an awakening in your own daily life. You add so much to your world. But when you come into this lifetime, you forget the grandeur of who you are. You forget that originally you were the owner of this grand castle. We're using this metaphor because some of you inside yourselves know that you're princes and princesses, kings and queens, right? Yes, you can make a joke about it, but you know, there's something profound about you. Maybe you don't want anyone to see it. Maybe you don't think it's even visible. Maybe because of circumstances, pains and shames and various issues, it's been buried. But there was at one point when you were whole, when you were that sparkling crystal of light being, that you owned a whole huge reality. You stepped into a complete and total reality for yourself. You downgraded your energy many, many times so that you could come into a physical body and be in this one little room. But at one point, you owned the whole palace. And every room, huge, beautiful, grand, glorious rooms, were filled with all sorts of light and sparkling, dazzling presence of you. And gradually, as you went through your lifetimes as a human being, as you prepared yourself to learn about the physical plane, to learn about third dimensional reality, you found it necessary to close down those rooms. Somehow or another, you couldn't really be a successful, you know, caveman or cavewoman and still be in the knowledge of your grandeur. You couldn't go through the experience. And you wanted to go through all these experiences to make these imprints, to develop this sense of connection with this third dimensional reality, so that at the appropriate time and place, you could bring it through its evolution. When you were an extraterrestrial yourself, all of you, extraterrestrials, all of you, living on other planets and other galaxies, got excited about this project, you realized you had to forget who you were. You had to shut down the rooms of your glorious castle. And you had to come into a limited reality and live in just one little room. Now, those of you on your spiritual development track have discovered that as you grow, you open the door and you look into another room and you go, oh, I didn't know that room was there. And you go in the room and you find it filled with all sorts of debris and clutter, egotistical attitudes and issues and limitations. Limiting thoughts and feelings and beliefs, arrogant attitudes, shame, all sorts of pain, contracts, all sorts of garbage, as we call it. A lot of people call it negative debris or negativity. Negativity is simply another way of saying that it's very contracting, very limiting. It's as if you got into contracting and limiting yourself, and then you ended up so contracted you couldn't contract anymore. But that was your choice. You wanted to go as far and stretch as far from your concept of awareness, from your consciousness of God, Goddess, all that is, as being part of you and you part of it, as you could get. So I'm going to stretch to the outer limit. And you did this as part of the work of God, Goddess, all that is, who is continuously stretching into more to find out who they are. There's like God, Goddess, all this is, has this out breath and creates this glorious creation. And then there comes the in-breath. And God, Goddess, all that is, sees who they are in a greater and more expansive way. You, dear ones, are the particles of light, part of the out-breath that went out and stretched to the furthest reaches of the darkness, you might say. Turn around and come back in the in-breath to create the greatest expanse of knowing and realization of self. Because every time you realize something great about you, you are expanding God, Goddess, all that is. Quite a destiny, eh? What's happened here in this lifetime is that you've already gone as far as you can go. You're on your way back in. You're on the in-breath. You're past the out-breath. You've tasted and touched the out-breath. And indeed, even in this very lifetime, you've touched the furthest reaches you could go as a reference point. That's how far you've stretched. And now you're coming back. Your focus is back. I'm coming back. Coming back home. Coming back into the oneness, into the light of knowing, in the light and the being of God, Goddess, all that is. Back into the body of God, Goddess, all that is. To do that, you need to open these rooms of your castle and clear out the darkness and the debris and the limitations that are there. And in this lifetime, you have already expanded yourself tremendously, if you notice. You've opened up quite a few of those rooms and you've had to clean out the stuff that's there. Sometimes you get very discouraged when you open these rooms. Oh my, here's more clutter. More stuff I stashed here from my unconscious and subconscious mind that I don't even know how to access or what to do with. It's just, you know, limitations. All sorts of limitations. Yes. But when you tackle it, when you focus on it, when you remember who you are with your light, sort of like your light broom, you sweep out the room, clean it out, and it becomes more of your living space. You're living, dear ones, in a grander and grander sense of space than you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Even if your physical space is no grander, could even be smaller. Physicality is not really the point. The point is spirit, soul, consciousness. As you claim each space, as you open the door, and rather to discover a new room, you've expanded, you've stretched, you've grown a piece. It feels fantastic. Oh, I know more of who I am. I can see things in a greater perspective. Things make more sense. I feel more power. When you open up a new room, you feel a sense of light, of brightness, of lift. You feel a sense of expansion because you are more. You feel a sense of power because you're gaining in the capacity to make choices and make decisions for your life that work. And you have more freedom, more flexibility and fluidity of self. More relaxed in the circumstances of your life. Think about it. When you were much younger, how certain circumstances could just give you a whammy. You would be devastated almost by them. You would get all bent out of shape and be angry and be upset and stew about, play games, fight, be defensive, cover things, be surreptitious, sneaky. All sorts of things. All sorts of limiting things. Immature things, if you will. But look at you now. You're much more willing to take responsibility for things. Not in a blame sort of way, but in the sense of, oh, okay, what do I need to do to change this? Where do I need to go from here? Asking the questions that lead to expansion. The questions that lead to greater freedom and flexibility. So that you can hang out with people that 10, 20 years ago would just have driven you nuts and up the wall, and you can just laugh. Oh, you know, you don't take it personally anymore. The freedom of that. of cleaning up your garbage, cleaning out your rooms, the flexibility and the freedom that you have to be with whomever you happen to be, wherever you happen to be, and under whatever circumstances you happen to be, a lot easier than it used to be. Now, you may chalk that up to time and maturity, but we would suggest, no, it's that you're expanding your knowing of who you are. And as you grow into owning your castle again, you need to know a few things about opening to receive. The universe, as we said, is extremely bountiful. In fact, it's filled with far more than you could ever possibly use in your life. There's so much out there that if you had the capacity to have everything that you wanted, everything, you would still feel limited in time because you couldn't get to it all. And if you had all the time that you could possibly have, you still wouldn't get to it all. There's just so much. And of course, that's the wondrous thing about it. That's the gift of your reality, a reality you co-created with your team. So as you expand yourself, in that process of expansion, you will find it necessary to open up to more, to receive. Because every time you receive more of your bounty, receive more love, money, healing, whatever it is, every time you receive more of it, you get a greater glimpse of who you are. You're a step closer to home. And it feels good. Every time you open to receive and receive more, you allow yourself to be more. Receiving is a very key piece. Now, we understand that in all the many lifetimes or imprinted lifetimes that you've chosen to experience, you've had circumstances which have been very painful, very difficult. Even in this lifetime, you have suffered certain things from early childhood when you were very vulnerable, when you seemed to be very weak. Even though you may have had a sense of who you were, it was not particularly supported by your reality. You set into motion in this lifetime certain pivotal resistances from outside you to, in a sense, force you onto your path. These resistances are things that you chose before you came into this lifetime. You got together with your team and you said, look, I'm going to have this injury, right? So I don't end up being a dancer. And instead, I'm going to go into healing. I'm going to go into something else. But the thing is that you've figured out some things to do in your life to set it into the right track. Sometimes this meant that family members had to kind of kick you in the right direction. Sometimes family members could guide you in the right direction. But you've also had to have external circumstances such as relationships, starting with relationships with siblings on the school ground, relationships at school and college, marriages, romances, that pushed you, in a sense, to take charge of your life in one way or another. Generally through relationships with key people who you selected before you came into this lifetime to give you that little push, little ooch in whatever direction you needed to go. And dear ones, you did a good job with that. It got you where you needed to go Now, at the time, being in the physical body and forgetting who you were, you might not have been too happy about it at the moment. It might have been very sad, might have been very frustrating. But nevertheless, you learned, you grew, you became more. And here you are, bustling along on your track. But you touched, in this lifetime, you touched shame, you touched pain, you've touched hurt and despair. You've touched it. For the most part, you have not spent a long time dwelling there, but you have touched it. You know how far you can go from God. God is all that is. And you know where you're going on your journey. Home, back to God. God is all that is, back to that greatness. But in order to claim your greatness, you've got to receive. You can't control it. And as we said, a lot of times there was fear created that if you were too vulnerable, too open, you would get hurt, you would get hit, impacted, devastated, whatever you would call it. So in order to feel safe, you constructed a defense. You constructed a barrier around you. This barrier consisted of a certain self-image that you wish to preserve. You want other people to think of you as being smart, don't you? Look, I'm really smart. I know what's right. That's the classic. Some of you put together an image, I'm just so nice, you couldn't possibly want to hurt me. You can pick up these attitudes when you meet people or talk to people. You can almost sense what's their message. Look, I'm really, really smart. Please recognize how smart I am. And if you recognize how smart I am, oh, I'll be so happy. And then you'll get, you know, a lot of attention and love from me. In other words, if you validate me, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Okay? And you know when you're around people that says, oh, please, please, please don't hurt me. I'm too nice, please. I'll be real nice if you just don't hurt me. There are a few other attitudes. Those are kind of the main ones we've noticed. Some of them are, I'm so tough, you can't threaten me. But generally, sensitive, spiritual people on the homeward path have found that one doesn't tend to work too well with them. They don't tend to have that temperament. The guys are not macho enough. That's why so many macho guys look out New Age fellows as wimps, because they're just too sensitive. Yeah. And the women, you know, the women have their own. They're sensitive. They start picking up other people's emotional stuff. They become too empathic for their own good. Now, sometimes you think that being empathic is receiving. It is a form of receiving. But it's also a compensation for not receiving in other ways. And by compensation, we mean that you came into this lifetime to be quite a receiver. You're going to receive the abundance of all that is. Because that's part of homegoing. You want to receive all of that so you can claim your whole castle, and then you are, ta-da, done, and you can celebrate and fulfill the destiny and ascend the planet, and everything's hunky-dory. And that shows a lot of caring and a connection with other people. Beautiful to be an empath. It also can be a burden. But the type of receiving we are talking about, the sensitivity we are talking about, is focused much, much more on opening to receive the abundance and the bounty. The abundance of the whole universe ready for you to create and co-create with your team. You cannot control it. That wall will not work. The wall must come down. The wall of control, the wall of resistance must be let go. Now, when we talk with you individually, what we have noticed, and we do this from a metaphorical position so that as part of a reading energy, to read your energy, we call it a room, a receiving room. Now, when we look at people and they talk about relationships, we look at their relationship room. If they talk about money, we look at their financial room. If we look at receiving, we look at the receiving room. All of you have, in this metaphorical context, a receiving room. It is a space that you have devoted in your psyche, and it also resides in your body, energetically, where you open to receive whatever it is that you are willing to receive, or where you close off whatever it is that you could receive that you don't want to receive, or where you meet out to yourself that which you will allow yourself to receive. See, if you can control what comes in and out, you thought, you would be able to get what you wanted and not have to deal with all that nasty stuff you didn't want, the frustration or the hurt or the loss or the pain. But the thing is if you control what comes in before it comes in by putting a wall up, effectively you are deflecting the bounty of the universe. Now, we're not saying you have to accept everything that's out there. But if you could accept everything, bring it in to yourself and say, okay, do I like this piece? Do I like that piece? Does this feel good to me? Does that feel good? Does this piece feel light and bright? Does it feel expansive for me? Does it feel loving for me? Does it feel freeing for me? Does it feel empowering for me? No? Well, I don't need to keep it. And on it goes. You are the ones who determine the energy flow of what comes to you. But not by putting a wall out here in front. Because when your wall's out here in front, the only thing that's going to come through that you'll receive is that which could burden you, that which could martyr you, that which could make you, you know, go through more of your issues. And who wants that? You know what your issues are, dear ones, by now. You do not need more external reminders coming your way. We know this. You know this too. The receiving room is often behind that wall. Sometimes the wall is not there. Sometimes you feel, oh, I've got to receive everything, but I'm not really sure I can handle it. It will be overwhelming. So in that case, we will find a receiving room. The door is wide open to the room. In fact, the door is off, is gone. There is no door. It's just a big, big portal. And okay, and so the receiving room is totally open, but it's this little small room, and we find you huddled in the back. You know, all huddled in fear. Oh my gosh, please don't overwhelm me. Please don't overwhelm me. Then there are those who say, oh, okay, I don't know that I'm going to let any pain or discomfort in. And so you're standing at the door. The door is just cracked open an inch and you're looking out. Okay, is it safe to open the door? And there are that's the wary self. That's the part of the ones of you who are wary, who are suspicious. Okay, well, just see about that. Some of you have doors that are like those doors that were at those ancient monasteries in the East, where there's like a window with bars on it, you know. So a fortress, and you open the window and there's still bars, and you're looking through the bars to see who's out there. It won't even open the door a smidgen until you're absolutely sure, this is what I want. And some of you have internal parent figures, we call them sometimes inner slave drivers. Parts of you that say, okay, this is what you're supposed to be doing, this is what you should do, this is how you should do it, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The one who gives you all your, you know, consensus, mainstream reality beliefs and attitudes about what you should receive and not receive. And there's a lot of you who won't receive stuff because you think that if you receive something from someone, you have to give them back something. And you don't want to owe anybody anything. So this parental part will say, well, keep the door closed. Refuse. Just refuse everything. Insist on being the giver. Then you've got more power. Now, a lot of people say giving is, you know, more blessed than receiving. We would suggest they're equal. Giving is not any better than receiving. Giving is allowing someone else to receive. Receiving is allowing someone else to give. When you give, you can allow yourself to receive if you pay attention to it, if you allow it to be in balance. And then when you receive, you can allow yourself to give and be in balance. Your receiving rooms, dear one. Everyone we have seen, but perhaps a couple, but everybody's receiving room generally has some kind of limitation. It's either very small and dark, that you don't receive too much anymore in there because you don't want anyone to see that you are receiving. So let's keep it dark so no one knows it's there. Others of you feel burdened down by the little bit of receiving that you do because you owe everybody. So your receiving room is stashed with all sorts of obligations. And so you don't want any more in there. It fills up the room. Okay, shut the door. Some of you have bigger rooms which will allow receiving in one area of your life, but not in another. Okay, I can receive love and a relationship and everything like that. But somehow or another, I just can't get this money thing going. Or I'm in really good health, but somehow or another, why can't I get the love of my dreams? Why can't I get this beautiful person to live my life with? So they're selective receiving rooms. So we'd suggest right now to sense within yourself. Just to allow yourself, just to pause. You don't have to put anything down. Just sense, as we're sitting here right now, as you're there, where do you sense that you receive in your body? Where do you allow stuff in when you do allow it in, and whatever it is that you do allow in, where do you receive it, first of all? And secondly, as you sense that, imagine in that place there's a room. Let yourself go look in it. Take a peek past the walls and the fences that may be around there, or the conditions or the guards that might be by the door or whatever, and check your receiving room. Look into it. Peek. How big is it? Is there a door? And if there's a door, what does it look like? Is it a big, thick, sturdy fortress door? Is it one of those kind of like thin, veneered interior house doors? Is it a gate? Just sense it. Just sense it. We'll do more with this later, but just sense it for now. And then look into the room. How big is it? How bright is it? Are there any colors in there? Or is it black and white? Does it smell kind of old and musty? Or is there a kind of an herbal smell? Or what? What kind of smell is in there? What kind of stuff is in there? What kind of furniture is in your receiving room, if there is any? Are there any carpets there? Do you feel safe in this room? How high is the ceiling? Are there windows? Are there light fixtures? In your mind's eye, just walk into your receiving room, and for some people it's very small, crawl into it. But just don't try to make it what you think it should be. Let yourself just see it. And sense, oh, there are pictures on the wall of my relationships. This is what I've received. But over there, there's a business desk, and it's shut down and locked. Or gosh, look at all the cash lying there over there on the desk. But there's the shuttered cabinet over there with pictures of loved ones. All right, dear ones, come back out. And we would suggest when we have a break that you can write down about that. Now, one of the things that happens, that the part of you that put up the barriers, that put up the walls to receiving, that one, the internal parent self that originally said, we're going to protect you, we're going to keep you safe, sense now what fear that part of you holds about receiving. What are you afraid of receiving? Or what are you afraid of if you received? Maybe you say, oh, I wouldn't be afraid of anything. I wouldn't be afraid of anything. Okay, so what's behind that? If you were completely free to receive and your receiving room is big and glorious and grand, but you're still having some difficulty receiving some things that you desire, where are you hiding your resistance? Where's the wall? You're not looking at the wall. Where is it? Take responsibility for this, dear ones. It's in there somewhere. There may be behind you a contract with your internal parent. Okay, we will let you have the illusion that you're receiving everything and that you have no resistance to. But we're just going to mete it out to you. So it'll appear like this: the universe is gifting you these little tidbits. We're going to give it out to you one at a time. Some of you have a very stingy parental selves. What they mete out to you, you've had to earn diligently. You've had to work for. You've had to sweat for. And then when you finally get it, the internal parent says, okay, now to keep it, we're going to raise the bar. And they raise the bar up, and now you have to earn it again. You have to be totally impeccable. You have to do everything right. Be more perfect. That's one of the options. Another option is that you can see that you have a certain amount of limitations in there. What about your parental self? What's the fear? Oh gosh, if I receive too much obligations, I have to pay everybody back, because I don't deserve to receive and just accept it and enjoy it. I have to do something. And of course, it's tit for tat earning. You're not receiving there. You're giving in, you're giving under duress is not really giving by its true heart nature. Where is the fear? What would happen if you got everything that you wanted? If you had everything that you wanted? And all the time and all the money and all the love that possibly you could have. What's the fear? Now you may think it's ironic that you may have a fear of these wonderful things that you so desire. But there's a fear, and your parental self is busy protecting you so that you will be safe from whatever this fear dictates. If somehow or another you get a loved one only to have them die, or to have them leave you, or if you get that fantastic dream job only to suffer a devastation in your health that keeps you from doing it. All these kinds of factors. Is there fear there? Pay attention. Sense it. If you think about receiving right here in the moment, you don't have the fear right in the moment, do you? The fear is about the future. The fear is about what could happen. What if? What if? Right now, however, if you just sense within your beingness right now, sense how free you are. Sense how safe you are. So you're not really busy receiving much more than information right now. That's pretty easy. But sense how free, how expansive, how light, how powerful you are right now in this very second. You're safe right now, aren't you? Can you feel that? Right in the very second of now, the closest you can be to being in the present, or fully in the present. Not too easy to do in third dimension, but as close as you can get to being here. Sense how safe, how free you are. Now, what if this energy of safety and freedom and power and brightness that you have right at this second, you're able to have continuously all the time? What if? Now we're going to go later today. We're going to go to your receiving rooms and we're going to open them up for you and with you. Before we do that, you've got to think about also, do you know anybody who receives? Because you need to look out and imagine what a receiving room would look like and what it would feel like if you're really open to receiving. Who is the most phenomenally successful and happy and joyous and free person you know? If you don't know anybody like that, then imagine, is there any kind of celebrity that, to your perspective, has the lifestyle that you would love to have, or some person, some figure in your community or something that you look up to, who seems to have it all. Choose and select somebody. Just select somebody. And if not, then you'd have to imagine, what would a person who could completely receive everything that the universe has to offer without restrictions and limitations, and they accept that, they choose with joy, and they just let the rest of it go. No big deal. No resistance. Just flow. What would that be like? What kind of person would that be like? And in your imagination, take a peek now into their receiving room. And use your imagination for it to be in the same place in their body as your receiving room is in your body. That's where you're going to look for it. Does it seem free and expansive and open? Are there conditions somewhere in there? Even so? In order to receive, you want to receive all that the universe can give you. It is like an energy that you breathe in. You receive it into you. If you like it, fine, you claim it. I accept. This is wonderful. This is good. I enjoy this. Notice we did not say this is right. No right or wrong. That which you do not particularly vibe with, without any judgment, you say, all right, I don't prefer that. And you breathe out, and out it goes. That's the energy of receiving. Can you do that? Can you imagine somebody doing that? Can you imagine what a receiving room would look like if you could do that? Now, we've talked a lot about judgment in the past. Judgment is essentially a way of limiting something in order to control it. And didn't we say earlier, control is a way to protect yourself from the fear of your internal parent. So judgment of anybody, anything, any possibility, any option will lead you straight into the arms of your internal parent and all that that entails. It is important, dear ones, in the act of receiving to forego judgment. Now, you're going to have preferences. You prefer this to that. You don't have to ask why. You only have to feel it. All right? You have two options to receive. They are kind of different from each other, and I'm only going to receive one of these two possibilities. Now, there could be a possibility that is obviously a possibility that's your preference. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go for that. I don't like that one. Those are easy choices to make, are they not? One is obviously brighter, more expansive, more loving, more free, more empowering. Really obvious. But what if you get two possibilities that are pretty equal in vibration? And dear ones, as you open up to greater and greater things and claim more rooms of your palace, you're going to open up to many more choices that are beautiful and bright and glorious in all options. Which one are you going to take? You make the choice by what's brighter. Does it have a sense of bzzz about it, a little buzz about it? Does there seem a sense of brightness, even though you can't really see it, light on it, but does it feel like it has more light on it? Does it have a sense of lift? Is it lighter, feeling like there's a less weight? You feel, okay, this possibility, let's look at it, how it unfolds. Okay, it has that feeling. Okay, we look at option B. Let's look at how that unfolds. Okay, B is heavier. A is lighter. Well, that's one for A. Okay? All right, look at freedom. Okay, which one is more freeing? A lot of times that'll be the same as the one that's lighter, the one that's freer. Which one is more expansive for you as a person, more loving? What option is more empowering, do you feel you have more choice and decision and power in the matter? More capacity to create there. Now, if you notice, the comparisons we're making is not through judgment. This is good choice. This is the right choice. That's a bad choice. That's a poor choice. There's no judgment, you see? That good, bad, and okay, and poor, and right and wrong, all that stuff is irrelevant to making choice. When you make choice, you are at source in your reality. You are creating your reality every time you make choice, and you are becoming more every time you make a choice. Every time you make a decision, you have the option to make more. Even small decisions. You can make small decisions with flexibility, light, and freedom, and power. Hey, you really got it. If you can make big ones that way, without any judgment, feel it. Watch your preference. This way, you avoid the taskmaster, the parental self, that supervises right, wrong, good, and bad. You bypass it and stay in flow, in light. And this is the way a person who can really allow their receiving room to be an extraordinary experience, a palace, if you will, processes their decisions. If you think about it, decisions and choices are never made logically anyway. Why even bother to try to convince yourself that you're being logical, because you never are? You only use logic afterwards to prove the rightness or wrongness of your choice. Furthermore, if you judge choices, once you make a choice and it doesn't seem to be turning out the way you want to, you don't have a sense of investment in that choice, because you no longer attach to that choice the rightness of your being, your smartness, your image. And you can just pause and say, oh, you know, this doesn't feel like it's turning out. It's getting heavy. Let's see what other options there are. And you'll have the flexibility to create and move quickly in whatever direction you choose. If you go into judgment, you could beat yourself up with it. Oh gosh, I made the wrong choice. How could I be so stupid? I thought it was the right choice. It seemed to be lighter and brighter and more expansive and so on, but I must have made the wrong choice because it's not working out exactly as planned. Well, maybe that choice was to get you to a certain place so that you could open to another choice. Think about it. You don't create your reality in logical, simple-minded steps. You create your reality in gusto, in many colors and dimensions simultaneously. Did you realize that every time you make a choice, you create parallel realities? Every time. Regardless of how significant the choice is, you create a parallel reality. You have infinite numbers of parallel realities you've already created in your life, because how many choices have you made since you were born? Oh, gosh, millions? Billions? Who knows how many you've made? Sometimes you make several in a day, you know, 100 in a day sometimes, in your work even. What if you choose A and not B? And you had a C as well. Well, you choose A, you're on that track, but you've just created a parallel reality who chose B and went on that track, another parallel reality who chooses C and goes on that track. Your job, dear ones, is to make choices that keep you on the tracks that lead you in the most elegant and most beautiful way to God, God is all that is, to the divine oneness, to the love, to the completion of your mission and destiny, and the great celebration. Now, some of you are in situations where you feel powerless and that you don't have a lot of choice. well, you know, I've got to go to this job, and it's my survival, and I've got to spend several hours at this job every day, and sometimes I have to do things I don't want to do. Sigh. Here's where you can make your choices powerful. See, powerful is one of those considerations. It's your choice to make your choices powerful. If you are committed by contract in a job to do a certain thing that you may feel a kind of boring task or an unpleasant task or even an icky task, but it is your, you've made the contract, it's your job to do it, then choose it. Okay, I've got to do it. Not as a victim, choose it as a creator. I choose to do this. I choose to do it with as much light, presence, and power and majesty and expansion of myself as I can do, even though it's the stupid, piddly thing. Don't even judge it that far, even if it's something you don't really want to do. You create, by choice, the light in it, the brightness in it, the expansion, the power, and the freedom. It's your choice to do this, to imbue this into every decision you make. And when you do that, there comes a point that everything you're doing, everything, even if it's something mundane like having to rush to the supermarket to get some food because you don't have anything for dinner, even though you've run late and you're tired and you're exhausted, oh gosh, I want to eat something, but I have to stop by the supermarket and pick it up. Do it in power, dear ones. Now, the reason we're saying this is because when you can make choice in your power, the conscious agreement, and imbue it with light, you are creating a certain frequency in your reality that will open up your receiving capacity. Let us explain. If you are to make choice from a place of power, considerable strength, freedom, power, etc., by your own very own choice, all right? You go to that supermarket, you have to go and get that food, and you bring it home and you have to cook it, whatever. Maybe it's a TV dinner, you just have to stick it in the microwave. Whatever it is, but you had to do it. And if you do it in power and you did it in presence, then your reality is reflecting your choice in a positive way, not a victim way. Now, we talk about this as if you have, you know how you have a zipper and you jackets that have zippers, and you have to fasten the little zipper at the bottom, get it connected together, and then you go zip, and you can zip it all up. And when you're done, you unzip it, and then you have to unfasten that little thing at the bottom where the little piece inserts into the other piece and clicks in there. You have to unclick it. When you make choice from a place of power and light, expansiveness, freedom, your majesty, your love, your expansion of self, it's like hooking together the bottom of the zipper. You and your reality get hooked up. You know, you're one side of the zipper, your reality is the other side. You get hooked up. Once you get hooked up consistently, zip, your reality and your choice become one. When that happens, you are receiving at a phenomenal rate. You better be ready for it. You better be able to allow it in, to own that this is your reality, and by golly, I'm receiving the whole sucker. I'm going to receive the whole reality. I'm going to bring it all into me. I'm going to bring everything in, and I'm going to expand and expand, and what I choose not to keep, let it go. But no barriers, no judgments, no limitations. Now, one final piece. Where are you going to receive from? From where do you receive? Yes, from God. God is all that is. But we want to bring up another very potent force, an energy that has come present on the planet only recently, and in the 2 to 3 years to come from this date, is only going to grow much, much, much more expansive, much more profound, much more powerful, and that is the destiny of the future which you, dear ones, have chosen. You've chosen it to be part of your reality, part of this lifetime. You have chosen this. This is what we call the force of your future destiny. You came onto this planet. You set it all up. Yes, some of you, you know, went through Atlantis. Oh, gosh, we got just about got to the ascension, and wham, we destroyed ourselves. 3 civilizations went down in your mythology. Now, we mentioned earlier you're creating parallel realities. Atlantis is still going on strong in other realities. You didn't choose that track. You said it's going to be the 4th time that's a charm. Here you are, 4th time. The thing is that you knew when you came into this lifetime that this was the time that for you is going to work. Now, most people on the planet are going to allow it to work, but it's mainly because of you. What you do with yourself, changing the frequency of yourself, claiming your palace, is impacting millions of people through consensus mind stream, through the thought forms of your collective, of which you are a part. This force of the future destiny, a destiny that is absolutely certain to come because it's contracted, it's agreed, all your unseen friends are here for it, all the ETs have arrived for it. Yeah, you haven't seen them quite yet. They don't want to freak you out. Some of you are working with them, but not on the grand scale where they're going to land on the White House lawn or anything, right? All right, that's too freaky. But they're working with you. They're your brothers and sisters from your other lives. They're here. All your facets of yourself, the crystalline jewel of a diamond that you are here. All your other lifetimes, in their own way, are rooting for you. Come on, you can do it. This is it. Let's do it. Let's get to it. We've been waiting around. Let's go for it. This one is destined to work. And the future at this point has such a profound power and force. You can tap into it. You can bring it to yourself. You can receive into you this powerful force of destiny in the future. Why? Because your choice in this lifetime is for there. As you make choice more, as you open up, you're receiving. This future of you, this future self, you are going to be the extraordinarily healthy one, the one with love, the one with all the money you need, with all the prosperity and abundance and bounty of your reality. The glorious life you chose. This is going to happen. It's got to happen. You are really solid in this, dear ones. You can take this force and this future self that represents this, that is holding the resonance, the beautiful energy, frequency, light, grid, whatever you want to call it, of this future, and you can receive it to you here and now. And as you receive it to yourself here and now, you heal your receiving. You heal the issues still outstanding. Because in the future, 4D, 5D future, you don't have any issues. There are no limitations. You don't have limitation there. Every time you love, truly love, without expected return, without a sense of manipulation, game, playing, or any kind of control in it, when you really love truly, you touch infinity, you touch fourth dimension, and you create all kinds of magic. As you open up the relationship room, the receiving room, excuse us, when you open up your receiving room, you allow yourself to open to your love, to receive love, your love, from your future self, from your future, from the whole future. Not just your part in it, but everybody's. The whole future, the whole kit and caboodle. Fourth dimension, fifth dimension, you can receive it to you and expand your own love, your own sense of love. Profound. Beautiful. Now, we have talked before, years ago, in workshops where we went into detail about money, you know, and detail about relationships, and detail about health, and details. But these details, as wonderful as they are to consider, things to look at, things to let go, the process of change has come. The new reality is filtering in. You can feel it. You can feel the pulse quicken in your reality. You can feel the light grow, regardless of the circumstances of your physical environment. And in this opening, in this expanding into this new reality, you can know who you are. You can hold the resonance of your love, of your power, of your beauty, of your grace, of the expansive, infinite self. You can hold that resonance. Maybe you can't squeeze it all into 3D, but you can hold that resonance. You can bring it into, you can allow it to be part of your resonance. And in so doing, effectively bring that destiny in as planned. Is not a time for deep detail processing. It's a time of shifting and changing and expanding your frequency, your vibration, your resonance, your presence, your magnificent, majestic, grand, glorious, crystalline diamond of a presence. All right, dear ones, we're going to take a break. And during this break, we would suggest that you think of any kind of questions you would like to ask. And when we come back from the break, after you write your questions on a piece of paper, you can give them to Daniel, and we will answer them after the break. So we will close temporarily for now. Farewell, dear ones.